wait, no longer. Greatness has arrived. Welcome to the Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players. But you know the whole spiel. Today is a patron-exclusive show for anybody at the $1 or up levels. We're locking it behind a paid tier because of The Last of Us leaks and spoilers. If it's anything that surrounds Sony, it seems like people want to just rain spoilers everywhere. So to kind of stop that from happening, or at least mitigating it, though I know it's on Patreon, people are up to crazy no good. So again, for a dollar, that's going to gate a lot of trolls, and that's kind of what we want, because today it's about Ghost of Tsushima. We're hyped for this game, or at least I'm hyped for this game, and it's about our breakdown of the state of play that happened as of recording yesterday evening. PlayStation announced earlier this week that yes, there would be a state of play solely focused on Ghost of Tsushima. And spoiler alert, Kyle, not for The Last of Us Part 2, I promise. I actually heard that Ryan McCaffrey, this was supposed to be the IGN first.
In April.
A month ago.
Yeah,
in April. So it kind of just goes to show how COVID-19 has really affected marketing and thrown everybody through a loop. But Kyle, presentation-wise, how did you like the state of play? Because everybody, before we even get into the gameplay, and trust me, time codes, if you want to just get right to it. But like, how did you like this event without, you know, because state of play has normally been
like announcements,
kind of, announcements. But like, not a lot of people have been liking it because it seems like the structure's somewhat off.
You got that weird lady talking over everything. Like it seems like fake, genuine almost. At least that's what I get from the vibe of it. I loved this one. It was pretty much just like, here's the state of play logo. Let's get right in and let's have the developers talk about what is one of my most anticipated games of the year still after seeing this.
Ooh. Okay, and I'm going to ask you where it stands, because, like, you know, I know for me, I got Cyberpunk, I got Last of Us up there. So I want to know where this game stands after this state of play. But yeah, I liked it too. It was straight to the point, straight developers talking. They missed no beat.
No.
Like, they missed nothing
here. They started, and they immediately answered my main question. After hearing a couple weeks ago, they were talking about, like, there's no mini-map.
No waypoints.
No waypoints. Like, everything is environmental. And in my mind, I started panicking. Like, oh, man, if this game's going to be huge, I'm going to get lost, and it's going to take out the fun. I'm going to get frustrated.
So let's go right into it.
Yeah.
Not even a minute in.
Nope.
Here we are. We get the gameplay. And, yeah, they talk to you about probably the most controversial feature, which is the waypoint system and mini-map feature. It's a gust of wind.
Oh, I love it. It's such a cool thing to not really take you out of it. And like when Jason Connell started talking, who was one of the developers at Sucker Punch, and he's just talking about how they want you to feel like immersed in this world and want you to explore, give you, reasons to explore and hints as to like, oh, those smokestacks, there's something over there. Like, someone's in need over there. But having the wind gust to kind of take you in that direction, and we'll see some hints of it. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But it feels like Jin is fueled by nature. Like, nature's, like, on his side, almost.
It very much seems like something like that.
Yeah.
The way that the wind works is it points you in the various direction of where you want to go.
You pull up the map, you say, hey, I want to go here, and the wind will direct you that way.
Bam. And then at the same exact time, if you're walking and you're still kind of confused as to where you want to go, there's just a button you press.
Right
on the D-pad.
D-pad, yeah.
And you see a little swoosh, and you just go in the direction of that swoosh.
You let go of a leaf, and you just follow it to where you need to go.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so... And you're totally right. But we'll get to the smokestacks right here, right now. Because they really want you to explore. There's kind of like three versions of Jin. There's the Explorer Jin, where he's in like his traditional Japanese garb. Awesome fucking hat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're kind of just exploring the world. And you... Like, while he was running, you actually saw people fighting what seems to be a fucking bear.
Yeah.
And Jin's like, no, I'm gonna ignore that. But you could go... fight that bear
if
you wanted to, Or you could just go to your main destination and you see it. It's a big smokestack. But if you turn around to the side, you see a little tiny little bit of smoke. So you might go, all right, I'm going to go there instead. And the cool thing is, if you're going to those points of interest, birds will kind of guide you along the path to where that side quest is going to be.
Well, yeah, not even that. Just hidden locations the birds will be. Mm-hmm. So, like, the birds will just come flying right by your head and be like, hey, there's something hidden over there if you follow me. And then they'll land and there'll be some sort of interactive thing. Like in the case of this demo, which has popped up. I have it. We both have it up on the side. We're watching it while we're talking. Just some guy telling Jin, like, hey, there's ghosts in here. Or there's, like, you know, spirits, evil spirits. And then there's just, like, an abandoned house with supplies, that which we don't know fully what they do completely yet. But, yeah.
And it's funny because he's just like, when the guy's like, there's a ghost in there, he's like, who are you going to call? He's like, what? He's like, all right. This joke is several hundred years early.
Also, really quick, when I first watched this, and Jin is running by the bamboo.
Yeah.
And he didn't get off the horse to collect it, and I was so happy. I was, I'm so tired of, like, I think Assassin's Creed Odyssey did it when in my small time playing that game, but when I play The Witcher, like, and I'm traveling around, I have to get off the horse, pick up the supplies to get back on my horse. It just... I'm happy they kind of streamlined it a little bit.
It's listen, this is still a video game. And I very much appreciate that as well, because it isn't like, you know, Red Dead Redemption has fucking horse nut physics. Why?
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes it should still just be... It should still remember it's a video game. Why do I have to saddle my rifles on the side? So just to see that is a huge sigh of relief for me. Because, yeah, like, it's still a video game. I can still just collect it. Sorry. And that cough is on my end. No, I'm not sick.
No, Joe's fine.
I'm not sick.
A little bit of sinus pressure. That's it.
Yeah, I just have a fever, and that's it. Okay, Kyle. Then we run into a fox.
Hell yeah. Which, and, Fox pulled up, was like, oh, is this a Far Cry thing? Do I have to, like, collect pelts to upgrade, like, my pouch or whatever?
Yeah.
No, foxes are your friends. Again, going into, like, the nature is helping Jin out. And foxes will bring you to more hidden shrines.
And now you might also ask yourself, Joe, what does the fox say? I would say that joke is several years too old. lose it.
My joke when I saw the fox was like, how much do you think Nate Fox, who's like the head of Sucker Punch, wanted to make sure the fox is the one that shows you hidden places?
Oh, here's the thing. I get it. Japanese culture, foxes are revered.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah, they are. They have to do something with some of their, like, religion.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
Yeah, that's why foxes, like, it's like illegal to hunt them or whatever in sweet. Japan. Okay. Yeah, it's super dope. Which this game, might I add,
is super dope.
Super accurate to what they're trying to depict, at least in the time period. Not saying that I was there, but as a history buff, the way that warriors fought in Tsushima is exactly how combat works in this game.
Oh, we're skipping straight to combat?
Yeah. Okay, do you have anything else you want to note with exploring?
Yeah, before we get into the combat, the end of after the fox brings you to the shrine, you pray at it, and it says if you pray at two more shrines, you'll get a charm slot open up. Then they go on this little montage of different areas in the game, and I was in awe of how different each place looked. I was a little worried that it was kind of like the same visual coloring and style throughout the whole game. But no, it seems like you get snowy areas. You get the beautiful pinks and yellows. You get very gloomy days. The one that really stood out to me is he's on a peninsula and he's riding his horse.
The Pillar of Honor?
Yeah. And but the lighting also makes Jin seem fade out. Like he's like the whole screen feels very tonal in what it's doing, which I kind of dig.
Yeah. I like the Breath of the Wild vibes at the end with him and the Japanese flute, kind of giving homage to both Breath of the Wild to see the scope of this game, the land, and also the flute guy. Shout out to flute guy from 2018.
And just look at all those places. I see smokestacks out there that I want to go visit because, yeah. All right, yeah, let's get into Jin the Samurai because that's what was next.
All right. So, and I can't do the voice legally. but yeah, let's talk about... All right, Kyle, can I do the voice? And if it's offensive, I'll edit it and I'll have an apology. Are you ready?
Sure.
I'm going to take... All right. I apologize.
Yes.
It felt like a mistake as I was doing it. Let's talk about Jin the Samurai. Yeah. This is...
Awesome.
Whoa. So you're approaching a fort with your horse, and you are decked out to the Samurai Nines. Kyle, yes.
It's just the fact you get off the horse, right? You're at your mission, and they give you a dedicated standoff button.
Yeah.
Or you press it, and the screen goes into, like, theater mode with the black bars on the top and bottom, and you just know shit's about to go down. You're here to fight.
And that's a cool thing. So, like, real talk, you're entering the fort. In any video game, they just start shooting at you.
Yeah.
But, like, in real life, would you? Like, would they? Because you're literally one guy, right? Like, what harm can you really be? So you could choose to infiltrate this fortress in various ways. Trust me when we say that, because we're not talking about the ghost yet. But they're just like, let's give you a standoff button, because at the end of the day, this is a video game, and this is paying homage to the Kurosawa, like, movies from the 60s. And I... adore this.
Yeah.
Kyle.
It is really cool. I have... The combat looks okay to me, completely, off the bat. I don't know how... Obviously, I don't know what buttons do what. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, is it a simple simple button to parry and do one of these moves? Is it, like, a combination of some things? Why is L1, R1 a combined thing button press down there? That's something we didn't see at all. What do the yellow circles do? Is the red bar stamina? I don't know yet.
Which they say, like, they still have more to show us.
Yes.
So I'm assuming after Last of Us, then we'll see more of this game. Maybe get, like, another state of play.
Sure.
Surrounding this game. But combat for me, Kyle, zoom in on my face. Oh, wait, no, there's no video. It's just audio. Reminded me of three games in particular. And I'm not going to say Bloodborne, but it has been 1,800 days, literally on the day. So please demand Bloodborne 2. It very much gives me AC Odyssey vibes. Mixed with Neo, because there's different stances involved. So you have, it looks like you have four different stances to choose from what it looks like. He chose the water stance, which it looks like is the much more defensive stance. And he was able to deflect arrows, which is awesome, because it's not like he's deflecting it back off of him. You're actually just seeing the arrows dud off the axe or off the sword, which is super cool. But the action also reminded me a Neo in that regard, where Neo is a lot about stances. Different enemies have different stances of which you need to take them down. So, like, there's a more defensive stance, more offensive stance, more parrying stance. So it seems like you're going to be hitting the sacred symbols for changing your stances on the fly. And that I feel like your R1, R2 are going to be your light attacks, heavy attacks, and your L1 is going to be your defensive. Yeah, your blocks.
That makes
sense.
But
super, super cool.
Yeah.
And incredibly quick and visceral as well.
Yeah.
Not just that of Neo, but, like, it also gave me, not Sekiro, but more like Star Wars Fallen Order.
Okay.
Where it's about predicting when to parry the enemy's attack and breaking those parries. Mm-hmm. So how did you dig the samurai fighting style? I'm not even going to say that. How did you like the samurai fighting style?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it looks cool. It just, my big question is, what am I pressing to do, pull these things off? That's my only thing right now. And is it just a simple button press is it kind of like the Arkham games where, like, even in here, you saw one of the spears, like, glow purple. Like, that guy's about to attack you. Do you wait for that to press the counter? Like, is there, I still have some questions when it comes to the combat, but it looks really, really, really cool. And I'm excited to play it.
And the reason why we don't know the buttons, this is something maybe I should have said a while back, is you don't see anything UI-wise. It's very
clean.
A few things, but incredibly clean. They want you to just experience the world and immerse you in it, which I really dug. Now, let's talk about Jin the Ghost.
Yeah, I had questions.
Yeah?
Not in a bad way, but
okay.
When they said, like, you could replay the same mission a different way, in my head I was like, oh, is it branching storylines? Evil Jin is ghost, good Jin is samurai, and you kind of like how Infamous does it. That's a sucker punch staple. That's literally been, I'm pretty sure that's been debunked, where they've said in the past that there are no branching.
This is just one story they want you to tell.
But it's cool that this is the sucker punch style, though. You get a good version, you get evil, and they both play differently.
It's
like
not even evil, because Mongols are kind of dicks anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But
more
like
ruthless.
Sort of kind of through history.
More ruthless. Yeah. Yeah.
Ruthless is a good one. Or honorless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't give a shit. Like, when you kill people as a samurai, you actually bow at the end.
Yeah.
You give them an honorable death, a clean death. Oh. You wipe your blade. Jin the Ghost doesn't give a fuck.
Jin the Ghost has some cool mechanics that they talked about here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, yeah.
Jin the Ghost is all about stealth. He's all about tricks. He's all about sabotage.
He's got some
and
gadgets. Like Batman. He's got some gadgets to kind of distract people.
And I want to know if they refer to it as magic, because that's what they thought, like firecrackers.
Yeah.
He uses as a distraction, and he assassinates two guys that way. Just jumps from the ledge and just stabs a guy through the head. And you would think through the butthole as well. You're assuming it.
I love how, depending what enemy he's looking at, they're. The buttons do different things, right? When there's two guys, if you press triangle, you can start a chain assassination. If you just did square, you would just assassinate the one guy. And in this next area, you pop up, and there one of them says slaughter instead of assassinate, and the other regular enemy, who doesn't have as much armor, says just regular assassinate.
Yeah.
So there's different contexts there, which is cool.
And why would you assassinate one and not two?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is one to interrogate, because the one cool thing, which, like, you jump down, you just slaughter these five guys.
Yep.
Like, you kill one guy, assassinate him, you throw
kunais.
A smoke bomb. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm not going to
kunais. I'm pretty sure they're kunais.
Kunais, okay. Yeah. If I said it with the voice,
I couldn't get
dead on.
Nope.
So, you assassinate one of the guys. I don't learn my lesson, too. You would think I would learn. I'd be like, you know what, Joe needs to settle down with it. So you assassinate one of them, and then you throw a smoke bomb, critical strike the other. But, like, you stab him in, like, the shoulder. Like, that guy's not walking away. That's a mortal wound at the least. And then three other guys pop up, but you throw the kunais in the direction. You stab. You get them all in the throat.
Yeah.
And they're all just gushing blood.
And then is my favorite part of this whole thing.
Tell me.
Is as the ghost, the Mongols are afraid of the ghost.
Yes.
And in the lower third, there's a moment where an enemy spots Jin as the ghost, and he starts backing away in fear and, like, groveling, like, crawling behind him. And Jin just walks up and stabs him in the chest and moves on. And it said, like, enemies will be afraid of you. Use that to your advantage. So it's not just a cool thing that happens. Like, that is a mechanic that they probably have accounted for, which is awesome.
Yeah, and then he gets on this boat and he burns the boat down, which is pretty much like a typical like Assassin's Creed flair.
With a grappling hook. Don't forget the grappling hook.
With a grappling, there is a grappling hook. So technically, Batman, is this part of the Batman universe?
I am the League of Shadows.
Which also reminded me, Kyle, of a quest in World of Warcraft, Howling for Jord.
Oh, jeez.
Where, I forget, they were kind of like Viking-looking characters, but you're supposed to burn their boats down, and you do the same thing.
Mm.
So, just a little reference for you.
Sure.
Anyway, this is a PlayStation show, and I apologize. I keep on doing this, and this is all my fault. Okay, my one problem with the combat, Kyle, because it seems like it's a duality of man here. Honor, which is the samurai, and dishonor, which is the ghost. Both combats seem cool.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like to me the same. Like, Samurai's Paragon and the Ghost is Paragon. Or sorry, Renegade. Mm-hmm. But Renegade is already so cool, and I already want to play Renegade way more than I want to play Samurai.
Absolutely.
Because the Samurai plays like a... Ghost plays like a Tenchu or old school AC game.
Mm-hmm.
Modernized, if that makes any sense. Like AC2 vibes. And I'm like, I'm already down on playing the Ghost. I'm already know I'm going to be like, I don't give a shit about a Mongrel. I get it. It's human life.
Yeah.
And trust me, modern day Mongolia, I bet's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know, second century Mongrels. Those people, assholes. Okay? They're like, I don't care anything about them. They're brutalistic, right? From South Korea all the way to Hungary or Istanbul. Mongrels, I'm not a fan of them. So I'm going to be the Ghost,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's going to, what combat style spoke to you, Kyle Stevens?
Oh, I usually am Paragon all the way. But mm-hmm. I loved how the Ghost used stealth actions and tricks. And I love the whole mechanic of, like, if enemies are afraid of you, they will run away. And, like, I kind of really, really dig that. On the other hand, though, I think we're going to get a good mix of both.
Mm.
I feel like at nighttime, that's when Ghost comes out.
Okay.
Because of the black mask and because his attire is very black, at least in the demo. Yeah, so like I think we'll get a good mix of both, especially since they're not two completely different playthroughs.
I need to tweet out, and I think everybody needs to sucker punch in Andrew Gofarb. I think he's their PR lead, right?
Yeah. Yes, I believe
or
so.
Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really want a face mask of the Ghost. In these uncertain times, I want to at least look badass when I'm going for food shopping.
Get that collector's
when I'm going
edition,
to Costco.
Joe.
Yeah. Nobody cared who I was until I put the mask. Now everybody lets me get 2% milk. Oh, man. Anyway, let's talk about the customization. My apologies. Customization, you get to find dye around the world, and you can dye your armor in certain colors and outfits, kind of like Destiny-like.
By collecting flowers, that's how you can change the colors of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You find charms by finding those shrines that the foxes help you to get.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, the different types of things that you can wear are not just aesthetic purpose only. Each thing does something else for Jin. So you might get more defense with the hat on or something like that. But hopefully it makes a little bit more sense than defense with the hat. But you know what I mean?
I also hope that it changes things up a little bit. I know this is a trophy room and I got to throw in a Bloodborne reference. But kind of like in Bloodborne where different items help you in various ways.
Yeah.
But like if you still want to rock a certain outfit, you're not terribly punished by doing so.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, but at the same exact time, like samurai garb should only be when you're a samurai and ghost garb should only be when you're the Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool. I'm not sure if this is a thing in the game, so don't set this in stone. But like if you wear something for a certain amount of time, you gain that ability. So that way you can change it up. And so you're not like stuck with that thing.
Yeah. But real talk, Jin looks pimp. With the white and, like, gold.
Hell yeah, he does.
Like, I feel like, you could be like, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a murdering serial killer psychopath.
I love these charm. I love these charm descriptions, too.
Yes.
Like, the charm of toxic demise. Wind chimes release poison vapors that kill enemies who pick them up. That's a stealth charm.
Gross.
Some of them, like, slowly recover health outside of battle. The other one is, what was the first one? Let me scroll back the video a little bit.
Yeah. Take your time.
Slowly recover health while out of combat. That's the charm of, I can't say that, so I'm not even going to try. Maybe they only showed the wind chimes one. Along with the health. Let's see, is there a third one? Yeah, smoke bombs restore 25% of your health. Charm of unseen respite. That's a utility charm. So there's a lot of cool things going on here. And they didn't even talk really about the techniques, which is also an option up there. Like, who knows, you learned other moves and maybe other stances. Maybe there's more than four stances.
That's true. That's really trying to even think about that. And then they talk about photo mode.
Hell yeah.
Going past all this. And they're like, it wouldn't be a Sucker Punch game without a photo mode.
Shout out to them having it at launch.
Yes! And it's fucking cool. Because not only do you get to make photos, but also still video. So, like, you'll have it, like, as a picture, but, like, the leaves and shit are still moving.
Yeah.
You can have the ghost, like, logo.
Soundtrack. Or,
like, yeah, like, in the Japanese characters, like, and then it'll subtly fade its soundtrack, like, holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Adam Leonard, shout out to him. He's gonna have a ball with this. If he's been playing Days Gone, as I've been seeing him do,
mm-hmm.
he's gonna love this.
Yeah.
This, like, if you're into the, you know, like the Sunni legend, right?
Yep.
Did I say his name correctly? Who does all the awesome gifts. It's like this photo mode was made for you.
Oh, yeah.
It looks awesome.
I spent a lot of time in the Horizon photo mode, like a lot.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm going to spend forever.
Absolutely.
In here.
Same.
Japanese localized voice track.
From the start.
From the start.
Which is great.
So even before you start the game. So if you want that, subbed or dubbed, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dumb and I hate reading, so it's going to be dubbed.
Subtitles are always on for me. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same, real talk, same here. Like, every time I'm watching a movie,
because
there's going to be the one time that one person's like, yeah, that was it. And I'm like, what did he say? And I'm with my family, they're like, no subtitles. I'm like, why? They're like, because it gets in the way. I'm like,
the only times I take them off from movies are when the subtitles are too big. And I feel like they're distracting me from actually watching the performances and whatnot.
But they really should have. And this is, we're sidetracking here.
Yeah.
But, like, a great accessibility feature would be, like, various sizes for subtitles.
For sure.
I don't know why they don't do that. It must be, like, harder said than done.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But the coolest feature.
Yeah.
Which I am so...
I
don't know.
I'm torn, because it's cool.
I'm torn, too.
But I also...
This is the coolest shit ever, Kyle. This game's going to be fucking awesome.
Well, I'm trying to get the name correct. It's...
Samurai Cinema?
Samurai Cinema. So, if you remember, it's longer than three. 5 years ago was Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes. Yeah.
When it came out on Blu-ray, there was a chrome version of it where it was just black and white. And this is Samurai Cinema is Ghost of Tsushima as an old samurai film, black and white. And it looks so cool.
From start to fucking finish.
Yeah, man.
And then you get this awesome montage with the amazing soundtrack,
uh-huh.
which I've been whistling all day.
I joked before this year, like, how hard best soundtrack of 2020 is going to be.
Fuck.
It's going to be extremely difficult.
It's going to be a fucking bloodbath. And Kyle.
I'm here for it.
It's going to be harder than Game of the Year.
It might be.
Like, hands down. I don't even, like, just hearing the first 2 seconds, I'm like... Well, fuck.
Yep. Yeah.
Because Doom was great. I understand the controversy.
Yep.
Final Fantasy, great. Last of Us is always amazing. This...
Cyberpunk.
My goodness. Yeah, Grimes and her kid that's like... Ugh, what's that name?
Who cares?
You know what? You're right. Anyway. Back to the Ghost of Tsushima, though. You get to choose black and white from the start. Super awesome. And then you get montages of kind of everything you saw here.
Yeah.
So then, I guess since there's nothing else to really say, what do you think about Grimes' child's name? What do you think it's
bad, like, choice.
It solves. Like, what do you think the end result is? Like, pie? Is that the answer for pie?
I don't know.
Kyle, what do you think about Ghost of Tsushima? This 18-minute amazing state of play.
Yeah.
The best one, hands down, state of play. Getting a glimpse into the world, the
you know what the
fighting, the combat,
and you know
the
what
world,
the best part of this was, Joe?
What's that?
They didn't give us any story.
Nothing.
And I'm not saying that when they say more to come, we might get some of that, but just to have 18 minutes of seeing what this world is like and how you're playing the game is so awesome for someone that wants to be surprised by what's going to happen with Jin.
You're super on board.
Yeah, to answer your question, I love what Ghost is showing off. I'm super excited. You asked me earlier where it would land on my most anticipated currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that Final Fantasy is out of the way,
mm-hmm.
and Last of Us is still at number one, for sure. But this is a solid 1B. Like a very close to.
Okay. Yeah. Where is Cyberpunk for you? Because that's my most anticipated. It's been that way since the beginning of this year. Not just to be different than Kyle, because Kyle's was, I believe, Last of Us, if not mistaken. Yeah. But it's really, it's something that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like...
Cyberpunk is at 3, yeah. So it's not too far down the list. My only issue with that is... I know how stressed out I was in Witcher, and I know how much they're going to put, how dense Night City will be. I'm just worried I might get overwhelmed again.
Okay.
I like the setting. I like the vibe. I like everything about it. I just feel like it might be too much for me to handle.
Sensory overload.
Yeah.
So I am so on board for Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
You know, again, even if for it being spoiled for me, I am actually kind of more excited for Last of Us since it's been spoiled for me. So, with Cyberpunk also being my most anticipated, maybe it's just because it's so close, but I've never been this on board for something like game-wise in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is now my most anticipated game.
Sweet.
Because it's familiar in the sense where, like, you get... You know, someone in the comments of my Ghost video on YouTube, Bad Big Games, was just like, it's like a clone of, like, Neo, Sekiro, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's like naming off all these games. I'm like, how could it be a clone of that? It's taking inspiration for all those things. And all games do that. So yeah. It's not a clone. You just, whatever. So, like, I saw that comment. I'm like, that's exactly why I like it. I see aspects from other games that they're trying to weave into this game. And kind of to say what David Jaffe wrote on Twitter and kind of paraphrase, it's just like, you know a good creative director when they're not trying to beat you over the head with what they're trying to tell you story-wise or what they want you to get out of the game. They just show it to you through gameplay. That's what this game does. And I think it's similar to that of Breath of the Wild as well. It's like Breath of the Wild shows you what to do by you playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that game is so good. It's because of its exploration. You constantly learning things, constantly running into things, and seeing like the waypoint system with the wind and whatnot. It just gets me so on board for this game.
Yeah.
I am in awe at its beauty. The team, you know, is so passionate and loves this thing that they got. So, yeah, and at the end of the day, Kyle, this is why I play PlayStation.
Hell yeah, for sure.
Over 90,000 people watched this event on the official PlayStation YouTube premiere.
On IGN right now, which is where I have the video pulled up, the 4K, full 4K version of it, is at 963,000 views already. People want it, man.
Last question before we go. We're both hyped on it. We're super down on this game. We're down as in we're super in.
Collector's Edition is pre-ordered and ready to go.
Can't wait. A lot of people are calling this, or some people I've been seeing online, say that this could be Sucker Punch's Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? How do you feel about that statement? Because I know you love Sucker Punch.
I love Sucker Punch, and that makes me very exciting. Very excited to hear that. Yeah. I love just for them as a studio, giving them a chance to break away from what they've been doing for so long and trying something new, but still kind of have that formula of what makes them so great in this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so excited for Sucker Punch and cannot wait to fully play this game.
I want to know what happens behind the scenes, because it seems like each of these companies that Sony owns right now, all these studios, are just at their A game.
Yeah.
What's going on that Sony seemingly, consensus is on such of a like a win streak? You know, like Days Gone wasn't for me, but still sold gangbusters. Yeah. People love that game.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like Horizon, God of War, Uncharted, all that jazz. Like, what is it? Like, it seems like these studios, like, you're right, like, still have the DNA of what makes their studios tick.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, like, something else there where maybe it's that creative freedom, but, like, I want to know.
I definitely think it's because Sony trusts them because they've delivered. And when they don't deliver, that's when we don't see them anymore. Like, Ready at Dawn. Which makes me sad.
Too soon.
But, like, yeah. I love The Order for what it is. I want a sequel really, really bad. Yeah. But obviously it didn't work out to what they were promising, I feel like. So,
All right. So there we have it. Ghost of Tsushima, State of Play. Our breakdown impressions of. Super hyped for it. Kyle, I really like this episode.
Yeah, it's great.
So, patrons, you're really getting something special here for just $1. Tell your mother, tell your brother, tell your friends about the patreon.com/badbit, about the Trophy Room and PlayStation podcast, about Badbit Games, about whatever, all the things Kyle does, because they're like a million.
Be John Cusack. Put this on a MP3 player. Put your mask on. Go outside of somebody's window and just blast this episode so they can hear it.
What the hell is this guy doing? What's a ghost of... What's a Sashama? What?
Why is somebody named Mr. Badbit apologizing? What did he do?
What's the voice? I don't understand. With all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody... wait, before we go. This was going to be a great outro. We will start doing multiple episodes a week when special things happen. We don't want to flood your RSS feed. We don't want you to miss an episode because a new one happens. But we are on the precipice of greatness. The PlayStation 5 reveal. I could smell it. It's so close. And I'm very... The pollen's got to me, so I'm very congested. but I can still smell it. That's how close it is. So whenever that date happens, we're going to cover that on the show when it drops, when that news hits. And then at the same exact time, because we have The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima happening this summer, we will also have special breakdowns of our impressions, maybe even a review of those games on the main feed as well, because we're super hyped for those games. Mm-hmm. You can expect The Road to Greatness to get back on track with The Last of Us Remastered. Me and Kyle are playing it. We'll be breaking the first one into two parts. So expect that on May 29th. We'll be also doing a Road to Greatness for The Last of Us Part 2 when that launches sometime in July. I would like to say a week after. Or no, actually, you know what? Yeah, what did I say?
You said July. July would be Ghost.
Yeah. I would say 2 days after the game comes out, we'll have an impressions episode of The Last of Us Part 2. Because I don't want to play 30 minutes and go, here's my impressions of the opening cinematic.
I also don't want to rush through this game. I want to enjoy it.
I want to enjoy it, man. You know, so with that, expect that all here at patreon.com as we start getting back into the rigmarole of giving you regular content since the whole, you know, the world's trying to start getting back to normal. So we're going to try to do the same here, too. So with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, keep hunting and keep playing PlayStation.